these verses and bring out some things from these opening seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2, just to keep in mind as we enter the new year thinking about these things. And I want this church to know that I think I've met my match in donut eating. She's in fourth grade. I was in fourth grade this morning. I'm rotating among Sunday school classes. I was in the fourth grade. And I had a blessing this morning just listening to those teachers share their personal testimonies. What a blessing. By the way, your testimony is one of, if not the most powerful thing you've got. Your story about how you got saved. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can refute it. Nobody can argue with it. It's your story. It was a blessing. Listen to that. I had a little party up there, and Krispy Kreme donuts were included. I didn't touch them. How many of y'all believe that? Would you raise your hand? Not any. Look at Brother Gary. That's good. You're right. I didn't touch them. Now, I didn't say anything about after service today, but anyway, up there, they had a fourth grader. She wanted another one, and I'm not sure they gave it to her because she'd already eaten four of them. Four of them. During the Sunday school hour. We do that to kind of, you know, get them ready for children's church is what we do. So she's in children's church right now. If you hear anything, it's in the chapel, but if you hear anything, that's her bouncing off the walls over there. Okay, that'll be good. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, speaking to young Pastor Timothy. And he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who should be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things." Notice this phrase, "consider what I say." The first word, the word is consider. And as we're ending this year, going into 2018, I want to tie myself down to these seven verses right here. And I want to show us three things that we all need to consider. It's this word, consider. Paul tells Timothy these things. Then he says, "consider what I say." Pay attention to this. Think about this. And these are three things that we need to think of, consider, meditate on as we go into 2018. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless now? Calm our hearts. Help us to be ready to receive the Word of God. Speak to us in a clear voice, in Jesus' name, amen. If you study this book, you'll find in chapter 1 that Paul is currently, at this time while he's writing, he is currently sitting in a Roman prison cell. His days of public preaching and missionary journeys are over when you come to this book here. He is nearing the end of his God-blessed life, and what a mighty soldier of the cross he truly was. You know, in the first five verses of chapter 1, you see several things about Paul himself. And in the rest of chapter 1, if you would read that and study it, he's reminding Timothy of some things that he was never to forget. And those things, he was never to forget the gifts of God. He was never to forget the gospel and the guidelines that he gave him in those verses. But when you come to chapter 2 of this book, in the opening seven verses of this chapter, we see a major thought come out for our attention today. It's very appropriate. I couldn't get away from it as we think about entering a new year. Notice in verse number 7, Paul says, "consider what I say." I want to preach a little while on this word "consider" and things in these seven verses that Paul wanted Timothy to consider. The word "consider" means to think about. It means to exercise your mind on it. It means to observe it. Now, I put it this way, it means you're intent on considering what's being said. You're going to meditate on it. You're not going to let it go in one ear and out the other ear. You're going to let it get in there and just kind of wiggle around and find some room to change your life. Now, I want to take this same word and I want to look into these verses. After all, what Paul is saying to Timothy is what the Lord is still saying to us, because we know that the Holy Spirit of God is inspiring Paul to write these words. So I want to give you these thoughts on consider. Here we go, number one. Consider what? Number one, here's the first thing. Consider, first of all, the power you need. The power you need. This is found in verse 1. You know, it's beneficial for us to be reminded how the church at Ephesus, which is where Timothy was the pastor, was characterized at this time of this writing, by doctrinal error and sinful behavior. In other words, Timothy, at this moment right here, when Paul's writing this letter to him, Paul is in a situation where the message he preached may not be taken. It may not be accepted. He's not ministering at this time in a church where there's unity. He's ministering in a church where there's disunity when he receives this letter that we're reading here today. With this being the case, Paul tells Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The words be strong mean be empowered. It means be strengthened. In other words, Paul is instructing Timothy that he needs to be strong in the midst of these trials. He needs to be strong in the midst of these troubles. He was never to cower away from his present circumstances. He was to boldly proclaim the truths of God's holy word. And the only way he could be strong in this time was in the grace that's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. May I put it this way? In a nutshell, what Paul is saying is, Timothy, you need to be strong in the Lord, not yourself. He's telling Timothy that the Christian life is a life of dependence. It's not a life of self-sufficiency. You know, people don't like being told, you can't do this. But may I say this to you? Until we say that to God, we're going nowhere. Until we look at God and say, I can't do this, you will never be what God wants you to be. Because the Christian life is never made for our self-sufficiency. It's a life of dependence. He's telling Timothy that the only way he can stand firm in an evil day is to be empowered, to be strengthened in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Zechariah 4:6 puts it this way, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. John 15:4-5, Jesus said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Imagine a tree. An apple tree. This is deep teaching today, friends, okay? Imagine an apple tree, because this is the Lord saying to his children, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He's saying, you draw strength from me. You can't do anything without me. You take a branch on an apple tree and cut it off from the root and the root system. I'm going to tell you something, it's not going to stay alive. It's going to die, it's going to wither. Because the strength is not in the branch, the strength is in the root. May I say this to you, Jesus Christ is the root. And without him, we can do nothing. May I say this to you? You know what the word nothing means? Let me give you a Greek training course. Are you ready for that? You know what the Greek word means, nothing? It means nothing. That's what it means. You say, I don't need God. Really? Take a breath. Where'd that come from? So I don't need God. I'm doing fine. Wait a minute. We're only doing fine because God Almighty has our life in his hands, and by his grace, he's letting us breathe, he's letting us walk, he's letting us talk. You know as well as I do, anything can happen at this moment, and you don't even know that you're alive any longer. You know, let me tell you what we need to learn and keep in mind and consider as we go into the new year. He doesn't need us, we need him. We need the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian life today is not a life of do-it-yourself. It's a life of complete dependence and trust on the Lord God of heaven. We need the Lord's help to make it. If he does not help us, we're goners. It's that simple. It really is that simple. You know, let's be honest. All of us are full of pride. Because how often do every one of us go through life with no thought of God? No thought of Him. There are a lot of people who do not think about Him until they need Him. Amen. They'll go through life doing their own thing, saying their own place, go their own places, living their own life, but then a trial hits them and it's, oh God, will you help me? That's not the way to live the Christian life. The Christian life is, I need Him every step of the way. I need Him to breathe. I need Him to walk. I need Him to talk. And if I'm going to make it through next year, next week, this hour, if I'm going to make it through this message, I need the power of God. Number one, consider the power you need. Number two, consider the passing of truth. This is found in verse number two. He tells Timothy, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. May the Holy Ghost of God help every child of God to get this point. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, brings out a wonderful truth here for all of God's children to understand. Notice how Paul tells Timothy, he said, the things that you have heard of me, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Now stay with me. The word heard here, where he says the things that you have heard, that word heard means the things that I have placed into your trust. It means to commit for safekeeping. If you have a safe at home, maybe for your guns or for your valuables, something like, it's this word. It's being given to somebody to guard it, to protect it, to watch over it, to keep it in safeguard. The word commit means to place it alongside of, to present it or to deposit it. Now stay with me here. I'm going somewhere with all this. So just stay with me. Paul is reminding Timothy that the doctrine, the truth that he was given to him to guard, to keep it. But in turn, he wasn't to guard it to death. He was not only just to guard it, he was also to give it away. Now stay with me here. This doctrine, the truth of God's word that was given to him, that he heard, that was deposited to him, he was to start searching out for faithful men that he could now give it to, like Paul gave it to him. In other words, the truth of God's word is to be passed down from generation to generation to generation to generation. Paul wanted Timothy to consider how the word of God was given to him. And he was to guard it, keep it safe, don't let it be adulterated, don't let it be blasphemed, don't let it be made dirty, keep it the truth. Don't muddy the gospel, don't muddy the truth. You make sure it's the same when you give it as when you got it. And then when you guard it like that, you give it to others. Don't let it stop with you, Timothy. May I say this to you? We are to guard the truth and give it away. May I say this to you as well? It is a blessing to be able to guard the truth. You know what that means? That means somebody gave it to you. Everybody, listen to me, friends. If you're saved today, if you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, you have a Timothy. Did you know that? Excuse me. You have a Paul. Did you know that? I'm talking about somebody who gave you the truth. Hey, it's a privilege to be in a local church in the United States of America that you don't have to worry about what's going to be preached from this pulpit. Amen. It is a blessing to be in a local church that you know it's going to be preached straight to you. And may I say this to you? Thank God for the truth. There are people today who are dying for a lie. They blow themselves up for a false idea. They strap bombs on their bodies and they have suicide bombers. Let me tell you why they do it. Because they're being taught by a false doctrine that's how they go to heaven. But as soon as they blow up, they understand that they were taught wrong. It is a blessing to have the Word of God. It's a blessing to have a Paul who looks at you and says, here's what God said. I'm thinking of Preacher Lashley right now. I'm thinking of Dr. Keith Kaiser and Clarence Sexton and these preachers that come through here and they lift their voice and they say, thus saith the Lord. Folks, don't ever get over that. Don't ever get over it. That Paul gave this to Timothy and said, Timothy, I'm giving this to you. I'm depositing it to you. And I want you to guard it. But just like I passed it to you, God doesn't want you to sit on it. He wants you to find others and give it to them. It's the passing of truth. There are four groups of people in this verse. Paul is speaking to Timothy. Tells him to find faithful men. Who in turn finds others. Do you see it? Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men to others. And may I say that everybody on earth should be in one of those four categories. And the others, think with me now, the others should graduate to faithful men. And the faithful men should in turn become Timothys. And the Timothys eventually become Paul. And it never stops. The point is this. The truth has been given to us. For us to guard. For us to protect. And the reason it was given to us is because somebody gave it. Maybe it was your mom and dad. Maybe it was a preacher. Maybe it was a soul winner at your door. Maybe it was a co-worker at work that invited you to church and you got saved. I don't know who your Paul is, but thank God for the Pauls today. Thank God for those who give you the truth. Thank God for those who gave me the truth. Now I've become a Paul. I don't know why it's blessing my heart. I mean, that's all I am. I'm just Paul in the pulpit. No, I'm not like him. All I'm saying is somebody gave me the truth, and now I'm just giving it to others. That's all I'm trying to do with my life. And I'm going to tell you something. You should be doing the same thing. Don't let it stop with you. Don't sit on the truth. Guard it. Yes, guard it. Don't let anything in it. Don't let anything change it. But for crying out loud, don't sit on it. Give it to nothing. Give it to others. Find faithful men. Find a Timothy. Find others, whatever. Give it to people. It's an illustration here, if you will, of runners running a race and passing the baton. That while you have it, it's yours. Yes, and you're running full force. But the whole time, you know there's going to be another hand for you to pass it off to. Don't let the truth stop with you. Pass it on. Give it to others. And may I say this to you? That starts with your family. That starts with your home. God help me as a dad to make sure that my children know the truth. They have the truth and beg God it changes their heart. Brother Steve, I'm thinking about you right now. What a blessing for you to pass that truth on to your son and now he's passing on to others overseas. That's what life is all about, friends. Number one, what should we consider as we go into the new year? The power we need. It's the power of God. What should we consider? The passing of truth. Thank God somebody's given it to us. We ought to guard it and give it away to others. What should we consider? Number three, we see the pictures to illustrate. This is found in verses 3 through 6. You know, after Paul encouraged Timothy to be strong in the power of God, and then he encouraged him to pass the truth on to others like it was passed to him, he then turns his attention to some powerful pictures to illustrate what Timothy was to be like. He gives him three of them. He gives him different aspects of the Christian's life that we ought to understand these three illustrations. Let me give them to you here. First of all, verses 3 and 4, this is under Roman numeral 3, the pictures to illustrate, letter A. Here we go. Here's the first one. He talks about a soldier. This is found in verses 3 and 4. You can read it if you want to while I'm just identifying this. Paul tells Timothy that his Christian life is like that of a soldier. It's of special note here that a soldier has been enlisted as a member of an army. That's what a soldier is. He's enlisted in an army, okay? Timothy had been enlisted in the army of the Lord, and so have all who have been saved. When God saved you, He enlisted you. You are enlisted into the army of Jesus Christ. But notice what it says in verse number 3. He says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier." Not a soldier, but be a good one. Be a good one, Timothy. You know what the word good means? It means valuable. It means virtuous, it means better, it means worthy, or it means meet. In other words, the Lord wants His children not only to be soldiers, that means you're in the family, okay? That means you're in the army. Thank God that you're a soldier today. Amen. In other words, if you're saved, you're a soldier, all right? Thank God if you say, "Yes, I know I'm a soldier." Amen. But God wants His children not just to be an average one. He wants His children to be good soldiers. He wants His children to be valuable. Let me ask you a question. Are you a good soldier in the armor of the Lord? Would God look at you and say, "That's a valuable soldier right there"? It doesn't matter what army you're in. I guarantee you there's good ones and bad ones. I guarantee it. I've not been in the military. But I guarantee you that I don't care what it is, Navy, Army, Marine, it doesn't matter. There's good ones and there's bad ones. And God says it's a blessing to be a soldier, but I want my children to be good ones. Let me tell you how you can be. It's right here in these verses. Let me give you a couple of things about a good soldier here. Number one, what's a good soldier's characteristics? He gives them to us in verses 3 and 4. First of all, a good soldier stands through hardness. Look at verse number 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness." Endure it as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, these words simply mean to undergo hardship. It means to be afflicted or suffer trouble. You know, it's common sense to understand that a soldier's not enlisted on a playground. He's enlisted in a fight. And with fighting comes hardships and troubles. It's not an easy thing to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers many times are separated from their home. Sometimes they're exposed to heat, cold, sometimes lack of food, and in harm's way. But they keep on going in the midst of all of this. I'm talking about a good soldier. They don't quit. A good soldier, no matter how difficult it gets, he will not quit. Let me ask you a question, why? Because he's motivated by something bigger than himself. He's motivated about his wife and his children at home, and he wants them to still be free when he gets back home. And he's willing to go through anything personally for that. May I say this to you? It's important for all of us to understand that the Christian life is not a life of ease. It's not a life of comfort. It's a life full of trouble and heartaches. Aren't you glad you came to church to hear that this morning? It's a life full of heartaches, hardships, trouble. But in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can endure these hardships. Notice I said in the power of God. You can't say, "I'm not going to quit. I'll tell you one thing. I don't care what happens to me. I will never quit." There's a whole lot of "I" in that language. But if you say, "By God's grace, if I have verse 1 right, amen. If I'm standing in the power of God, being strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will endure hardships like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Number one characteristic of a good soldier. This is just the first picture of a soldier. It's the longest one, by the way, so you can rest here a little bit. He stands through hardness. What else? He serves in the war. I've already said this. Verse number 4, just in the name soldier, he's a soldier. You know what the word soldier means? It means warrior. It means a camper out. The word warreth in verse number 4, no man that warreth, that word warreth means he's serving in a military campaign. He's contending with carnal inclinations. That's what it means. He's at battle with his flesh. That's what it means. This means Timothy was to understand that he was in a war. And is it ever a war or not? Can I get an amen or not? I'm talking about the battle of the flesh. What this wants, that's the battle that every child of God is in. With his flesh. What his flesh wants. And a good soldier is going to battle his flesh. He's going to serve in that warfare. He's not going to crumble to it. We here in the family of God, have enlisted into the battle for the glory of the Lord, we're to report for duty on a daily basis, realizing we are at war with the world. We're at war with the flesh. We're at war with the devil. And we're to report for duty. 1 Timothy 1:18 says, "This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." Ephesians 6:11-12, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." God said through Paul here, "I want you to be a soldier, but I want you to be a good one. If you're going to be a good one, it means you're going to stand when it gets hard. You're going to be a good one. You're going to war against the flesh. You're not going to let it have its way. You're going to battle against it." Number 3, you're going to stay away from the world. This is found in verse number 4. Well, the Bible says that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You know what the word entangleth means? It means to be entwined with it, to be involved with it. It means to be preoccupied with it. The word affairs with the affairs of this life means the transactions or negotiations. Look here, please. The world's trying to negotiate with you. The world is trying to make a negotiation. Do this and you'll find this. Or do this and don't let anybody tell you what to do. The world just negotiates all the time. Trying to have its way. And Paul tells Timothy, which is the Holy Spirit telling us, because it's the inspired word of God, I'm telling you here that what God is teaching his children is he's teaching us that if you're going to be a good soldier, a good one, you will not get entwined with the world. You're not going to let the world just get you twisted. In a crowd this size, I wonder if God, the Holy Spirit, just shined a light on those who are entwined with the world, would the light be shining on you? If it is, you may still be a soldier, but you're not a good one. Don't you want to be a good soldier, friends? I'm telling you, children, God's children are to stay away from the world's wicked ways. We are not to get entangled with its sticky web. May I say this to you? The world knows how to negotiate with every person in here. Amen. The devil knows our weaknesses. The world has a negotiation for every person listening to me today. If you're going to be a good soldier, you're not going to listen to it. 1 John 2:15-16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." James 4:4 puts it this way, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." What negotiation is the world throwing your way? What's the world saying? Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm not naive enough to believe that every person listening to me is living right. I know how hard it is in my own life. After all, I am just a human being. You know that, right? And I'm getting to be a bigger and bigger one, too. I get it. I'm telling you, he's telling him here, be a good soldier. And he tells him, a good soldier, he's going to stand when it gets hard. A good soldier, he realizes he's battling the flesh, the world, and the devil. He knows it. A good soldier is not going to say yes to the world's negotiations. And a good soldier, here it is, this is number 400. He lives to please his commander. Look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Why does he not get entangled with the world? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul wanted Timothy to know that he had a cause in this life as a soldier. His cause was onefold, just onefold. That was to please his commander in chief, who is Jesus Christ. You know, Roman soldiers were not allowed to marry. They were not allowed to engage in husbandry or trade. They were forbidden as tutors to any person or curators to any man's estate, because all of that stuff was thought to divert their minds from that which to be their sole object of pursuit. Their sole object was to approve themselves to their commander. That's it. I'm to please my commander. He is talking about the soldier's will was to be absorbed in the will of his commander. His purpose was accomplished if he met the commander's approval. The whole army was to be of one mind, one heart, and one purpose. That's it. And it was to be the heart, mind, and purpose of the commander. That's it. In other words, the soldiers were to have no separate will of their own, just the will of their commander. You know, in the same way, we in God's army are not to please ourselves or do our own thing, but we are rather to please our commander, Jesus Christ. That's it. You know, that settles it all. You know what husbands need to do? Just please God. You know what wives need to do? Just please Jesus. You know what church members need to do? Just please the Lord. You know what teenagers need to do? Just please the Lord. You know what children need to do? Just please the Lord. Our goal, our purpose, a good soldier has one purpose in life. It's to please God. That's it. That's it. Let's be honest. When do we get in trouble? When we're doing something that doesn't. This is it. Hebrews 11:5 says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Here's the testimony of Enoch, that he pleased God. That's a great thing to be said about you right there. He just pleased God. Number one picture to illustrate, soldier. That's the longest one. Number two, he gives him the picture of an athlete. Verse number 5, look at it. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. Paul mentions to Timothy a second picture. Timothy, God sees you as a soldier. Now be a good one. Timothy, God sees you as an athlete. Look at this. And he said, you're competing here. This athlete who is competing is not crowned, he said, unless he competes within the rules. For instance, every athletic event has specific rules. Basketball, you've got to stay in bounds. You can't walk with the ball. You can't double dribble. You can't run over people. Of course, it depends on who the referees are, but anyway. Football, you've got to stay in bounds. You can't hold. You got it. There's rules in every athletic event. You know, in the same way, there are awards to be won. Don't you want them? I'm talking about at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't you want some awards to lay at the feet of Jesus? Amen, friends, I do. And I'm telling you this morning that if you're going to get them, you got to follow the rule book. All right, here it is. And God is telling us, just like Paul was telling Timothy, you are not just a soldier, you are an athlete, and understand there's some great awards to be won, but you got to follow the rules. You got to stay within the rules. We should have a desire to have a full reward on that day. In order to have it, we've got to live within the rules of our master. This means you got to know the rules. May I say this to you? If an offensive lineman gets down and he gets up and he grabs a defensive person that he's blocking by the face mask and pulls him down and they throw a flag, you think the refs care if he said, "I didn't know I couldn't do that"? You mean I can't do that? I'm sorry. Can you pick that up and give me another chance? It's not going to work that way. Look here, friends. God's given us the rule book. Right here it is. If you don't know the rules, that's your fault. Amen. That's my fault if I don't know the rules. That's why you need to read it every day. Every day. You know what this book will tell you? How to live. Tell you what to believe, what not to believe, how to live, where to go, where not to go, who to hang around, who to get away from. I got a slight reason. That's one reason some people don't pick it up. Some people are afraid of this book. Let me tell you why they're afraid. They don't want somebody else telling them how to live. This is it. You're an athlete. 1 Corinthians 9:25 through 27. Every man that striveth for the master is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let me ask us all a question. This is convicting. Am I as intense in serving Jesus as the athletes are trying to win the national championship in just a couple of days? Am I as intense in my training, spiritual training, as those training for the Olympics that come every 4 years? Because Paul said they're temperate in those things. And he said they're doing it for a corruptible crown. But he said we're doing it for an incorruptible one. So let's get busy as the right athlete. Number one picture, you're a soldier. Be a good one. Number two picture, you're an athlete. Stay within the rules. Number three, we're about done. And everybody said amen. Number three, he said you're a farmer. This is found in verse 6. Paul goes on to share with Timothy that he is like a farmer who is to labor. Labor. It's the word laboreth here. That word laboreth means to feel fatigued, to get tired, to work hard, to be wearied. In other words, Paul is telling Timothy, just like a farmer who works hard, he plows, he sows, he tends to what he plows, he waits, and he's the first partaker of the fruits of his labor. Even so, he is to be a preacher who works hard at planting, and one day in the future, he will reap the fruit of his labor. You know, in the same way, all of God's children need to take comfort and encouragement in the fact that there is a great day coming in the future. There is. But we need to keep our hands to the plow. Keep planting, keep sowing, keep tending, keep waiting. Because just like the farmer, one day he goes out and there's his crop, and it's been worth it. Someday when we get to the other side and we see Jesus, it'll be worth it. Keep your hand to the plow. 1 Corinthians 3:13 and 14, every man's work should be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it should be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If every man's work abide not, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. 2 John verse number 8 says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. He gave Timothy three pictures, three illustrations. Soldier, athlete, farmer. Let's put it all together. He is telling Timothy as to what he is to be and his reward in the future. And here's what he's saying. You put it all together. You're a good soldier. You're to be a good soldier. You're to be an athlete that strives lawfully. You're to be a farmer that just keeps planting because the crop is going to come. He's saying if you're to conquer, you got to fight. If you're to win, you got to compete. If you're going to reap, you got to sow. Isn't it easy to quit? It's easy. It's easy to say, not worth it. I didn't know this is what the Christian life's going to be. Fooey on it. Forget it. I've fallen so many times, I try to get back up. I know I'm just going to fall again. Forget it. I'm just going to quit. That's not a good soldier talking. That's not an athlete living by the rules talking. And that's for sure not a farmer who believes he's going to have a crop in the future talking. So I ask you a question as we go into the new year. Are you considering the power you need? That you need God. We all do. Are you considering the passing of truth? That thank God that you have the truth if you do. If you don't, we'd like to pass it to you today. And if you have it, He gave it to you to guard. But then He wants you in turn to give it out to others. And then have you considered the pictures? That if you're truly a born-again Christian, God has made you a soldier. Be a good one. God has made you an athlete. Live by the rules. God's made you a farmer. You keep planting the seed because you know in the future fruit's going to come from that. Basically, don't quit. Don't quit. Go on for God. These are things that Paul told Timothy to consider. And these are things that we still need to consider today. No doubt about it. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Shall we? Father, would you bless Would you guide, lead, and direct? Help us today to be faithful to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. There are two types of people listening to me today. Those who know the truth and those who've accepted it, or those who have not accepted the truth. Those who have been saved by the grace of God and those who have not. Those who have trusted Christ and those who have not. Those who know they're going to heaven and those who don't. I wonder today, which one are you? If you died just like you are, do you know without a doubt that heaven's your home? They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. You're among friends today. We love you. We care about you. And if you're here today but you've never said yes to Jesus, you've never trusted Christ, or maybe you have questions, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out, draw attention to you. No. But I would like to pray for you. Is there one today say, Jody, pray for me. I am not a Christian, or you're just not sure, and you say, pray for me. I need to be saved. And I know this is what I need, and this is what I want. I want to know Jesus. I do not know Him, but I want to. I want to trust Christ. I really do. Anybody like that, I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to embarrass you, not going to draw attention to you. But if that's you, would you raise your hand? Anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I do not know the Lord as my Savior, but I sure do wish I did. Then let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And let me just kind of walk down through this message with you. Have you been trying to do it in your own strength? And the Lord has laid on your heart that you need His power. Or maybe God's speaking to you about passing the truth on. Maybe you want to come and say, God, thank you that I have the truth. Somebody gave it to me. Help me guard it faithfully. But Lord, help me give it out to others faithfully too. Or maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about being a good soldier. A good one. Thank God you're a soldier if you're saved, but He wants you to be a good one. Or maybe He's talking to you about being a better athlete, that get to know the rules a little bit better. In other words, reading your Bible more. Living within the rule book of what He's given to us. Maybe He's talking to you about being a better farmer. Maybe you've stopped planting the seeds that you know you should be planting, and God is burdening you to pick the seeds back up and start planting again, realizing that there's a great day coming in the future. These are the things we need to consider. I'm going to ask Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If God has spoken to you, or maybe you're with somebody that you're concerned about their soul, you follow the Lord. You follow the leadership of the Lord. If God would lead you to talk to them and say, listen, do you know Jesus? If you don't, I'll go with you. You follow the Lord in that. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just encouraging you to follow the Lord. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. And may your will be done. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If God's speaking to you, would you come? Would you come now, please, as he sings. Maybe you know somebody that needs the truth passed on to them.
Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're just about through. I feel like the Lord's prompted this. How many of you all know the person? You know the person that gave you the truth. If you all know that person, would you raise your hand? Yes, that's a lot of you. Have you all, that person is still alive. Would you raise your hand? They're still alive on earth. If you got your hand raised, I want you to look at me, please. Would you do that? That's a lot of you. A lot of you. I raise my hand with you. Let me tell you something that'll be a blessing to them. Go to him and say, thank you for being my Paul. Thank you for giving me the truth. That can do nothing but help them. You understand? We who have the truth have something very special. And there's nothing wrong with saying, God used you in my life. I just want to say thank you. For some of you, that's your mom and dad. I want to thank my mom and dad for having me in this church, bringing me to hear the truth. I got saved here as a child, baptized here. No idea. As a 7-year-old boy, I believe that's how old I was when I trusted Christ, that I would become the pastor of this church. It's a testimony to my parents. Testimony to Preacher Lastly. Just gave it straight. There's nothing wrong with telling people, thank you. You see my spirit in this, right? I want to end this way, Brother Gary. We're going to close your eyes again, if you wouldn't mind. Some of you may want to just come to the altar and just say, Jesus, thank you for giving me the truth. Some of you may be with your Paul here. I don't know if that's the case, but you may be. It'd be a good time to bring him to the altar and say, I just want to go pray. Thank God for giving me the truth through you. That'd be a blessing to some people. Maybe you just want to come and say, God, thank you for giving me the truth. No question about it. Hey, I know I'm going on here, but that's all right. There are kids around the world today, adults around the world today, who've never one time heard the name of Jesus Christ. Not even one time. Never owned a Bible. Never had one. Never sat in a church service. They don't have one. God's been good to us, friends. Nothing wrong with telling Him. So I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing. And if you just want to come and just say, thank you, God, for giving me the truth. Or if you want to come and thank God for you, Paul, both. Just want to give you an opportunity. I really feel led to do this. I think the Holy Spirit's prompted me to do that. As he sings, if that's you, you come on. Come from the balcony down below.
Thank you, Lord,
from the balcony down below.
For saving my soul.
Just want to come and say thank you. Thank you for being my Paul.
Thank you, Lord, for making me whole.
Thank you that God used you to bring the truth to me.
Thank you, Lord.
This is it.
For giving to me.
Thank you for giving me the truth.
Salvation.
This is it.
So rich.
People praying, just thanking the Lord. Just keep on singing, Brother Gary. God's in this.
Thank
no question about it.
You,
no
Lord,
question about it.
For saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me. Salvation so rich and free.
As you leave today, they're still playing through some things. If you're visiting with us, please take your card out to the Welcome Center and get your free gift today. Thank you for being here. Be back tonight. Preacher Lashley will be preaching tonight. Every fifth Sunday evening service, I'm trying to give him that opportunity to preach. He'll be preaching this evening. Be right in your place at 6:30. Deacons, I'll meet you at 5:30. Remember that. Prayer meeting at 6 if you want to come to that. That'll be good. Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice, please. Thank you for being here today.